Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
All right, Todd. Well, today is a question, as I've been kind of now back in the local church again, full-time, and with our multi-site church, we're getting ready to launch another campus, and I'm also looking at our systems and processes around streaming, because that's something that we're doing as well. So I wanted to have this conversation, basically talk all about streaming and the nuts and bolts around that, and how you measure analytics around that. Should you? Is this another practice? Is this another campus? Best practices? So that's the topic of today. And hey, if you're listening in right now and you're like, oh, I have a question about that, this is a specific thing that I have a question about: leadership pipeline or multi-site church planning, anything like that, leadership, just send that in, right? Send that in to speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and send that in, and we'll be sure to answer your question. But in the meantime, let's answer my question. Streaming your service, is this another campus? Best practices, what are some of your thoughts, Todd?
That is the original way that multi-site, you know, really started to scale, was streaming services. Now, if you go back really old school, I can remember in maybe 2000, you had like North Point as an example. They would cut a DVD and, you know, do it a week late. So that's like really old school. But then you start to see streaming happen, and people do it either real time or delay. We always did it. We always did it with a 2 to 3 minute delay. And then we always had a football. We called it the football. I'm not sure why, but it was the hard drive of the Saturday night service.
Yeah.
And so we would do that and take it out to make sure that each campus had a football in case something would go wrong. But for the most part, we liked it to be, you know, as live as possible, because we just were committed to that. The other thing I would say is, you know, you don't need to go too crazy. I know churches that will, just out of some type of conviction, or at least they say it's conviction, I think in some cases they just want to be cool, they'll actually stream in worship from another campus, or they'll blend the worship, like they'll bring in the guitar from this campus and the drums from that campus. And I'm like, okay, guys, I don't know that this is really necessary. So the straight streaming is a pretty good way to go. It does allow for scalability. We strategically would have a time where 12 times a year, where we would have other speakers. So you could take the feed, or you could preach the sermon yourself. But that was done strategically in the way that we did our streaming.
Yeah. Do you think, though, today that streaming is that it needs to be seen as an online campus? Do you think because there was that discussion, and there are some churches that definitely went down that road, but with the difference, I guess some of the changing behaviors around church attendance, and I mean, it's changed so much, right? And the normalcy of people even streaming online or watching online, and just being on their phones all the time. Is this should it be treated as another campus? Like, should there be a campus pastor for this?
Okay, I understand what you're talking about now. Yeah, so we had the luxury of I hired a guy named Owen Pond, who's now a church planter in Bulgaria, I think, last time I checked. But he had run the social media for McCain Palin. So really, really high capacity guy. But, you know, I definitely had a heart for ministry as well. And so the great thing there was we treated it as if it was its own campus. We actually had, at one time, small groups in London and Moscow. We did shape workshops. We did a Christianity 101 for those people. Whenever we did Angel Tree, like around Christmas time or whatever, you know, major church initiative, we always found a way for those people to participate. So even if it was, hey, you can order this through Amazon and it's delivered. Mm-hmm. We did that for multiple reasons. One, we were in DC where everything is transient and, you know, you have different cycles of government coming through, meaning, you know, there's actually tons of Monday holidays that that nobody else in the U.S. at least celebrates, but those people in D.C. get time off. So what do? Most of them go back to wherever their constituency is from. And so these people travel a lot and all that. So suffice it to say, there were two, you know, kind of main people that that attended that service, and it allowed people that were connected to our church to participate in that way when they were away. And it also allowed people a way to bring people into our church, because we would actually encourage people, hey, sit down next to a person, or like get your neighbor and bring them over. I know this is not a problem in Edmonton, Daniel, because y'all don't cancel services for snow.
Only when it's like minus 40.
Yeah. So when that would happen, we would, I mean, if we saw it coming, it was like, here's an email campaign. Like, we want you to, we're going to either stream from Lon's house, or we're going to, take a service that is a, in case of emergency, break glass. 'Cause we always had one of those too. And we're going to say, use this as a strategic opportunity to invite your neighbors over to your house, cook them pancakes, you know, do like, this is a great opportunity actually, for you to get somebody in the door. So, Well, I would say I would treat it as a campus, if at all possible. If you have the ability to staff that up either with a real staff person or a lay leader volunteer that's high capacity and high competency, then go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get your points there. My opinion there, I would probably more or less agree with what you said on the latter side rather than what you said former or at the beginning, because for me, when I'm thinking about reaching Edmonton, and the vision of our church is to reach 1% of Edmonton. So as we think about doing that, I see online as that new front door. So rather than seeing online our stream as a way to engage people in the States or around the world or in other places, I'm seeing this primarily as a place to engage those in Edmonton who are not yet ready to come to one of our locations. That's my opinion. So as I'm thinking about how we then do connection cards and how we then engage and how we do chat and how we do all of that, and even if we were to, we don't yet have this kind of separate, a separate person hosting that service, because this is the stream that goes online is the stream that our campus gets, that one of our campus gets, minus the worship. So we don't necessarily have that split out at the moment, but I'm wrestling through that. I'm wrestling through, should we even do that? Should we create such a distinct experience online, or because we really do want to use this as a front door to get people into one of our campuses. So would that actually help that, or it would it actually maybe hinder it?
No, I think it does. I mean, you're going to have some people in your congregation that say, you know what? It's really cold outside this morning, or it's raining, or fill in the blank. Let's just stay home and watch the service. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you don't want it to just be more convenient for that person. You want it to be a tool. And if you're going to go in that direction, you know, you have to talk about it strategically.
Okay.
In front of the congregation. Like, this is not for you to be, it's not for you for it to be more convenient for you. This is for you to tell your friends who may not darken our door. Often this is the first step to the church. So I can tell you that there were people that came to Christ in hospitals, in other places where we had volunteers that were there regularly, and they would watch the service with somebody. Sometimes that would be a friend or family member. Sometimes that would be just a volunteer, you know, at a hospital saying, hey, you know, I'd love to come back on Sunday and watch our service with you. Is that okay? The other thing I would say is back in the old days, the wild, wild west of social media, you can kind of still do this, but we would look at what was trending in DC, and then we would just, we would crash that hashtag. And then we would, if there was a way to turn it to a spiritual conversation or a service or whatever we were talking about that day, we would do that. And so we had volunteers that would do that. And, you know, they, like, it was their job, and, you know, they're giving each other high fives. If they can bring in a couple of people to the service each week that otherwise would not have come to our church. And there's also stories of that. I can remember a girl who said there was something about jeans or clothing or something. Didn't have anything to wear. And it was, my grandma always wants me to go to church, but I don't have anything to wear. And so that person was engaged via Twitter, which could look like trolling. I mean, basically it is trolling for Jesus. But it was engaged, eventually came to a service, and eventually came to know Christ.
No, that's good. That's good. Hey, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and we will talk about analytics and what number to count when it comes to streaming and online when we get back. Blackbaud Church Management is the only software backed by the world's leading cloud software company powering social good. This enterprise-level solution goes beyond just managing your church. It seamlessly connects your church to your ministry all in one platform. Blackbaud Church Management connects your staff and congregation, ensuring deeper relationships and effective ministry. To see more, visit hello.blackbaud.com/blackbaudchurchmanagement. That's once again, hello.blackbaud.com/blackbaudchurchmanagement. All right, we're back. And I guess this is maybe the million-dollar question right now, because... And because Todd, I mean, you and I mean, we well understand watch time, view time, even when you look at Ministry Grid and the short videos that are on there and, you know, the average watch time for that. And I mean, there's just so much about analytics that matter, especially when you're looking at online. So first question, do you count online toward your overall attendance? And if so, what number do you count? Is it like you have to watch 10 minutes for that to be an actual number, 5 minutes? Like, how do you count those individuals?
I mean, you know, we were counting the number of people on the stream and looking at the individual IP addresses. So it was per address. We did have at one point in time, we would ask how many people were with them when they first came on. We would ask them to put their name in and, you know, how many people were with them, so we could get a better count. For a while, we had just a mathematical thing where it was like, hey, there's going to be 1.7 people per stream.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, all the... it's not there to inflate your numbers. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times, you know... We'll use stuff like that to inflate our numbers or to say we have this many people attending on, you know, online. And the reality is it's a mix of external people, internal people, looky-loos from churches down the street who are just trying to see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, so you don't really know. The real value in it is the potential for ministry, in the moment of the service. After the service, especially, because just like in a real church setting, you want to pray with those people, you want to interact with those people. So, yeah, you're going to have trolls come through for sure. And if you open up discussion, as an example, there's some best practices there to think about. So, how do we handle trolls? How do we handle during prayer? We pause the chat during prayer as an example? Or do we pause the chat during prayer and worship? Or, you know, or do we pause the chat during the sermon? Mm-hmm. There's different questions like that because you want it to be engaging and interactive. So you have to make some of those strategic decisions as well. I mean, we chose to primarily pause during prayer, and that was pretty much it. Other than that, it was, you know, we had two or three admins in there at a time, just so we could peel people off if we needed to. And again, most of those were volunteers that, you know, may not have served elsewhere in the church. And again, this is also McLean, and it was a massive church. So I'm saying you don't have to start all that. Don't make it overcomplicated. If you want to stream your service. You can fire up a laptop in the back and, you know, do it on Facebook if you want to do that. You don't have to have all the bells and whistles and a special landing page and tool. And it's easier than ever. It's way easier than it was, whatever this was, 2006. So 13 years ago. Good gracious. It's way easier to do now.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there then goes into all the questions about, do you do it on your own site or do you do it on YouTube or Facebook? So there's a lot of different questions to think about. If you have any follow-up questions on this episode, be sure to send that in speakpipe.com/newchurches. We would love to answer that, or go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right and hit send a voicemail, and we'd love to answer that. Thank you again for listening into the New Churches Q&A podcast. Be sure to check out the Group Answers podcast with Chris Surratt and Brian Daniel as well. They are part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family and recently have talked about the Enneagram and small groups, all-time best Bible studies, and Trevin Wax on discipleship trends. So just look up Group Answers on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.